Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised. Previously on Full of Sound and Fury.
It's live action.
Sounds pretty cool.
Like I was just telling Cyrus, it's
don't lie. It's
a CW show, so
it kind of does sound cool. I'm not kidding you. We were just talking yesterday about how I was saying I think they should do more with the Green Arrow.
That's true. You were saying that.
And he's getting kind of a resurgence now because of the show. So you know, they don't call him the Green Arrow.
Oh wait. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to comment on this. You've got a rapist in your pants.
Hand banana stuffed figure.
Why? Oh, is that weird? I had no idea.
Let's just call it spaghetti. That way, maybe we won't bring
that. That was a gift.
Talk about Udo.
Watch your asses. Though. That's all I'm saying.
So yeah, I mean, like they brought in some classic villains already. Although some of them have just been like a one and done kind of deal. Like Count Vertigo was in there one episode recently.
I've never heard of this thing.
You
a person? No.
Oh yeah, he's a DC villain. He was in Batman the Animated Series as well. What are you?
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
So where was I? Yeah, they had Count Vertigo. They've had Deathstroke sort of on there. They broke Deathstroke into two different characters.
What?
For now, like
Death and Stroke, I would assume.
One dude that had a Deathstroke mask.
Stroke is a teenager.
That they
He's
want,
just
and then himself. And then Slade Wilson, who's a more interesting character.
Was that a masturbation joke?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But the word stroke presumably was involved.
Well, yeah. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Anyway, so they have Slade Wilson, who's like
okay.
Main character, and they have this other guy that they killed off. Spoiler warning. Sorry, everybody.
They don't care. No one's watching. Well, actually, that's not true. Someone is watching this show. I think it's the CW's best show.
Yeah,
in terms of ratings.
I mean,
not quality.
You know, it's for what it intends to be, which is another Smallville but with Green Arrow, and a little more grounded like Batman because nobody has any superpowers.
Right.
The only thing super that they managed to do is have this herb that that Green Arrow uses that he got from this mysterious Chinese guy that like cures all of his shit. Like gunshot wound, here, have some herb. It got poisoned, have some fucking herbs. Drug overdose, herb it up, bitch. And, like, he gets fixed every time. Other than that, there's nothing super about it. Like, all the villains, just, like, Deathstroke is just, you know, mercenary.
That's why he's the Green Arrow.
You know.
Yeah.
He's just Arrow, exactly.
That is incredibly lame.
Fortune smiles upon
you. But I think if you could marathon it and like, do something else while you're watching it, like to skip through the dramatic parts, the CW type of, you know, Gossip Girl parts. It's not bad.
Interesting. I saw people advise me to watch MLB back when I was in college. I don't talk to those people anymore.
baseball's
great. Dude. You don't have to actually watch it. I'm like, what the
but
hell kind
I mean,
of argument
I've been
is that?
I've been keeping up with Arrow, and it's tolerable. Like, and the fun parts are when he's actually in costume, and there's like this overall mystery built in. With some of the other peripheral characters, they brought in Merlin, who's a traditional Green Arrow villain, who's a kind of a Black Arrow kind of character.
I'm learning so much tonight. All I knew was like he had a ward who was on speed or heroin. I'm sorry,
heroin.
I apologize.
His name was Speedy for a while before he was Red Arrow. And in this one, they gave him a sister. Like it's much more young. It's, you know, it's targeted a different audience
right.
than the comics normally are. But so a lot of it works, I think. You know. Some stuff, yeah, you can tell. Like
yeah.
I said, it's Smallville type stuff, but it's kind of fun. It's fun to watch. You know, it's kind of like, you know, not very nutritious, but it's good
right.
for what it is.
Well, it's a nice bowl of Lucky Charms.
Yeah, kind of like that. Just don't eat too much at once.
All
you
right.
know, but you know, I usually like. you know, have some recordings, so like I'll watch like a couple in a row after I've skipped for a couple weeks. Or, yeah. You know, and it's cool.
Well, it occurs to me via the Twitter that you've actually seen this thing from last week's, or not last week's, but the last show, this Enemy Mine, which I thought he was saying Enemy Mind the whole time. Oh. So that was revelation.
Enemy Mine, yeah. Dennis Quaid.
So someone else has, Gossett
Jr.
Someone else has seen this. He it actually exists. Tell you. Oh, he did.
I know. I listened. He told you many times.
He uses Gossett voice, which he's never used before.
I actually got text messages from him discussing Louis Gossett Jr.
Yeah. The man was a goddamn saint.
At like 1 in the morning, he was texting Louis Gossett Jr.
It's an obsession with him, apparently.
Well, the problem now is whenever I surf the net, all of my the ads that come up, they're all Enemy Mine. I'm like, son of a bitch.
He just had a Blu-ray release, you know. It's,
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I think.
I think somewhat recently. I may be wrong on that. But you know what did have a Blu-ray release recently? And I hate to port more material in from other podcasts, but Space Jam. Boom. Space Jam.
Oh, yeah,
on
yeah,
Blu-ray.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
Just in time for Michael Jordan's 50th birthday.
God.
Space Jam. Also,
what a
video
cool
game,
gift.
Video game related. There's this extreme knockoff game. And thank you to Giant Bomb for pointing me to this Petri clipping over there. It's called Charles Barkley's Shut Up and Jam. It is a video game rip-off sequel to Space Jam starring Charles Barkley in a dystopian future. It is ridiculous.
In a future ruled
Charles
by
Barkley's
the laws of
Shut Up and Jam. You play as Charles Barkley's son.
I'm already in. I want to watch this so hard right now.
It's a game you can download and play.
Yeah,
and it rips off assets from like everything, including Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
Oh, that game ruled!
Fucking sprites from that shit.
Holy shit! You just reminded me of the insane amount of time I spent playing that game. The thriller stage where you had to do like the perfect dance in the graveyard to kill all the zombies. Oh my god. That game was amazing.
Yeah.
Why do I have no recollection of this game?
It was like
Michael Jackson's
NES,
Moonwalker.
NES, right?
No, it was Sega Genesis.
Oh, Sega Genesis.
That's
right.
Why. Okay.
Oh my god. We will fire up the emulator later and play that.
Fire up the emulator.
No, dude. That game was awesome. I don't
the
know.
Neverland
I don't
cave.
Know what it was. It was kind of fun. I'm going to put it in a little bit at that. Because I may be misremembering.
I remember
he
had the smooth criminal outfit on, and he was doing stuff and
yeah,
firing
you like,
stuff off.
You jump on people's heads, and I don't know, you throw your hat.
Yeah, you throw your hat or something.
Well, like Gotcha?
Something like that.
Kind of.
It's hard to remember. I just remember a little sprite of Michael Jackson doing them.
Oh, and you could do this thing, yes, where the enemies would like come at you, and you would start dancing, and they would get entranced and dance with you until they died from dancing too hard.
Okay. Another callback, but I have to ask: did this come out in 1990?
It's quite possible. No, it's got to be later than that because the Genesis is a little bit. I will find out for you right now because I am super curious now. Oh my god, that game was
well. Anyway, so
superb.
Yeah. Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam. You know,
it's
a blatant ripoff of many other games.
So it's a game.
It's a game.
Oh,
you play it. But, like, the Giant Bomb guys were saying it was great, and I looked into it, and I just laughed my ass off.
Oh, my God.
Reading about this thing, watching some video. It's,
that sounds pretty glorious.
Not to derail everything with Space Jam, but, you know.
Well, derailed.
God damn it.
1990. Oh my Jesus Christ.
Okay. Best year ever.
89 and 90.
We'll make a stinger for that.
So, the console version.
Because there's an arcade version.
Yeah. North America released August 24th, 1990. That's.
Isn't that
creepy.
Judgment Day?
No, August 26th.
August 29th, 19, whatever the hell it was.
1990.
Because if it was 1990, it would also be the worst year ever.
It was the same day Princess Di died.
She died on Judgment Day?
Yeah. There's a bit of useless trivia for you.
Wow! Now
was there another
Judgment Day?
There was Judgment Day. So we're not counting Terminator 3 : Rise of the Machines, right? Because then they moved Judgment Day up, or was it the same day? I don't remember now.
No, they moved it up.
It was delayed. Arnold went into that in great length. I mean, I think it got moved again in the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Did it? Yeah, maybe.
God, what a bummer that was bad.
August 29th, 1997.
That was a strange time.
I am a huge dark.
Because they had Sarah Connor Chronicles, and they had that Joss Whedon show that's escaped, Dollhouse, on, like, back-to-back, and both
of the Failure shows, Friday.
Yeah, it's sad. I like Dollhouse. Like, it was really cool. It's just a shame.
It started really bad, right?
It started kind of, then it wasn't clear what it was going to go on, but that was mostly because of the network was screwing with Joss Whedon's kind of vision or whatever. And then they finally just said, well, fine, do whatever you want, and then it finally got good.
Hmm.
And then the second season, they had to kind of do a radical shift a little bit.
So once they engage Whedon vision,
exactly.
Well, I feel like your description of that process will be on his grave. That'll be his epitaph.
They finally let me do what I want, and they canceled me.
And then he just flips the grave. So you missed the last one. You were avenging your Sifu. I forget. Was that one on that weekend?
Shoot. Oh, I was doing a 12-hour seminar at my Kung Fu school.
All right.
6 hours on Saturday and 6 hours on Sunday.
All right.
Not including meals after and all that stuff. Getting my train on.
Sweet.
Training up, yeah. It was brutal because I was just getting off a cold still, so. Yeah, it was a little rough to show up at 9 a.m. on Sunday and be like, all right, it's time to do 2 hours straight. Here we go for the next break.
Yeah.
But
that will do
it. I survived. It was good, though. Yeah.
So
Charles Barkley's Shut Up and Jam.
All right, I was like, that's a complicated title. I got to remember that shit.
This is crazy.
Okay, how some other like obscure shitty video games that were like just selling shit. Do you remember the Noid video game?
Yes, I do.
The Domino
also
Noid
Cool
video?
Spot, the 7
Cool
Up game.
Oh,
that's right.
That
yeah.
was Genesis.
Yeah. Was Noid?
Noid was
Domino's.
Ness.
Domino's.
Ness, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
console.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Noid is the guy who ruins pizza.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Way to go, Domino's.
He's the cook at Domino's.
Yes.
Because I'm sorry, Domino's.
Now you can watch the progress and you might get annoyed halfway through and your pizza will be canceled.
That should be the CEO of Domino's official title. The Noid.
You're right.
And people should call, like, Chief Noid
Officer.
As
well,
that.
It was just last year they had the whole campaign that, no, we don't suck anymore. Has anyone ever done that campaign? That's pretty bad.
It used to be terrible, but no,
actually, you know,
now
I'm on the video game kick. You know, it's worth talking about PlayStation 4. So that's kind of the Sony message for PlayStation 4 is, hey, we don't suck anymore. We're telling that to the developers. We're telling that to the gamers. We're telling that to the press. We're telling that to everybody. So they announced the PlayStation 4 this past Wednesday.
Okay.
So there was a massive meeting. They had in New York City.
Go back for a second. Pretend I know nothing about metallurgy or any of that shit. Why did the PS3 suck?
So, okay, let's... So,
what are these sins they're disavowing?
There's a lot of arguments to hear. There's fors and against, but the clear winner in the console wars, if setting the Wii aside for a second, of the last generation.
Oh, I did.
For core gamers, and I won't delve into that description, but is the Xbox 360 in terms of sales numbers.
Yeah.
Worldwide. And some of that has to do with the user experience and the way they do social gaming, meeting up with your friends, being able to chat and get games
Halo.
Quickly. Yeah, well, the Xbox Live kind of overall infrastructure was very well suited to gaming, to being social with your friends and being able to jump into games with your friends. So that kind of pushed the popularity of the Xbox quite a bit. Also, the Xbox was released earlier than PlayStation 3.
That I didn't know.
Also, in terms of the architecture for games, like the actual computer architecture in there, most people would argue that it's simpler to program for that console than the PlayStation 3 was. So the PlayStation 3 uses something called the cell processor, which is an incredibly complex, you know, central processing unit married to an NVIDIA graphics card, essentially. And it was just really hard to develop for. You had to come up with all these tricks and incantations. And the reason Sony went that way was because they wanted power. They wanted to show you, our hardware kicks the shit out of everybody else's hardware. By the way, you need like a PhD to fucking program for this thing.
Yeah, so the main problem was that like, while the Xbox 360 is more or less just a PC, kind of.
In a way, yeah.
Right, actually it's a power
PC. It's a power PC.
But it's like a, Mac then, but like it's a more or less a standard like general purpose computer
with a graphics card attached to it. Yeah,
right.
Right, it's 8 inches. The, fully right. No problem.
The Cell processor is this.
It's like they tried to put a supercomputer inside a console and say go.
Yeah,
and it didn't really work that well.
Yeah, so like the programming techniques that you use for one are very different from the other. So like the way that.
So if we throw this into lava, this is what stops Skynet from coming into existence. Is
that
the thing?
That's what they wanted to make. And okay. Then, if you think about, put yourself in the position of like the guys that make Call of Duty. You want Call of Duty to be everywhere. You want that thing to show up underneath your ass as when you think about it.
I want the fat kid from Superbad in my commercial. Got it.
You know, like, you think about it and it appears and you can play it on whatever, including a little roll of toilet paper. So, they want to have their game come out on every console and be easy to port that game, the same code, same game, everywhere. And it's just harder to do that when you've got the supercomputer you have to make the game for and a regular computer. They just don't port very well. So that was kind of the problem that Sony had on the developer side, like people making games. It was just harder to make games.
There just weren't enough wizards out there capable of...
Plus, lest we forget, because it was so long ago, it was so goddamn expensive to buy the fucking unit that they said, you should take out a second job to be able to afford this because you will want it. Sony came out the arrogant entrant because they kicked everybody's ass with a PS2. So they thought, we'll charge you $600. Oh, you're going to want this so bad, you're going to get a second job. And then they got their clock cleaned with that kind of attitude. So, fast forward to 2013, they announced PlayStation 4.
They're bringing back the Noid.
New mascot! No. It's a PC again. You know, PlayStation 4 is essentially a PC. They're using an AMD, what's called an APU, which is basically a graphics chip and a central processing unit in one package. 8 gigs of RAM. 8 gigs of very fast RAM. GDDR5 RAM.
That is a lot of RAM.
It's a lot of RAM, and it's very, very fast.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that the PS3 suffered from, was at the beginning, the hardware was so expensive that one of the ways they decided to cut the cost a little bit was by cutting the RAM that was on the thing.
Oh, boo.
And so that reduced the amount, that reduced the cost, but... Like you can't fix that problem, right? Because you want all PS3 discs to be compatible with all PS3s. So, like, couldn't make a new version of the PS3 that had more RAM in it, even though RAM became like stupid cheap. So, like, the original PS3 has what, 256 megs of RAM or
something like that? Yeah,
so just like something that, like, now we look at that and we're like, what the hell? Like, I fart more than that RAM every day, right? Yeah. So, but at the time, RAM was expensive enough that the difference between 256 and 512 was still a big deal. Yep. But now, like, fast forward to even, like, 1 year after release, and it would have been...
We burn RAM to keep warm.
Yes.
Styrofoam and RAM. Yeah.
So they said, well, now it's going to be easier to program for. We made this like a PC. And so that was their message to developers. This thing's a lot easier for you to program for. For gamers, they have all these social features that are kind of neat.
Okay.
So basically, as you're playing a game, all the time, it's recording video of your game in the background and kind of throwing it away after some unspecified amount of time. But when you hit the share button on the controller, it actually has, like, pops up this interface that you can actually share the last 15 minutes, let's say, or something of your game video anytime you want. You just hit share, and then it'll upload it to YouTube or YouTube or something like that. So... That's kind of a cool thing, assuming you're into that kind of thing. At any time, you can upload video to the internet of what you just saw, some dude getting his eye blown off and hitting a slam dunk with it or something, you know, doing some crazy thing.
Is this in the game? that was very specific.
Shut up and so, for example, if you dealt massive damage to an enemy crab,
you could record your sadness.
God, and what game was that?
That's Genji Days of the Blade from the PlayStation 3 launch. That was
they
all the bad press.
No, that's a great title. I'll fight you there.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
the game ain't bad.
The press was just terrible. And they were much more humble. They actually hired this guy, Mark Cerny, who's a guy that used to make Atari games. And he was like the creative director or something like that for the PlayStation 4. So they really tried to be, you know, developer-focused. Make sure it was easy to program for. And they all, like, you know, they got all these features. There's fantastic graphics, you know, yada, yada, yada. Another cool thing about the share thing is you can share your game in the sense, like, and that's maybe phrasing it a little oddly, but you start playing your game, if you're stuck with on a boss level, you know, okay, let me back up for a sec. So part of the share-off feature set is you can watch other people play their game at any time. You can log in if your friend decides to share their game experience, and I'm making air quotes here for those who are listening at home. People can actually, you can actually just have people watch you play your game as if it were like an event. You know, you can just go to YouTube or Ustream. I think Ustream is their major partner for streaming. Or you can use your PS4 and just watch people play their game as if you were there watching them at home on the screen. But if they get into a tough situation playing their game and they can't beat the boss, you can actually allow people to take over your game for you remotely and beat the boss for you or play the game for you and then give the control back to you. So you can have people watch your game and then they can be like, yeah, you fucking suck, dude. Get off the fucking controller. Give me it. But they're at home somewhere else, and they can actually just take over and play the game for a bit if you let them.
Oh, so the whole world now is potentially your IT guy that just sits there and mocks you. And
friend that's like, no, no, you got to hit L3 five times. What the fuck is your problem? What do we used to say to Waxman?
Stop sucking,
Waxman. We used to tell that to this guy when he was playing games in college. So, you know, you can do that remotely now. But, you know, there's a lot of cool features involved with all the processing power that the new PS4 will have. It's just, it's more like a PC. So they're trying to unfuck the situation that they were in with the PS3 in a big way. So they announced this week. Microsoft's got to shoot back. Most likely Microsoft will have very similar features. They're all, you know, PS4 is also going to have a Kinect kind of interface where they can do motion sensing. Everybody's going to be kind of a feature parody hardware-wise. Right. We'll see what happens with the software. That's really a thing for it.
Have they named their new beast yet?
The new Xbox?
Yeah.
No, the code name is called Durango, but no one knows what the actual name of the unit will be, because the PS4, the code name was
Orbis. I like
Orbis.
The idea that it is Durango, and it's just a cowboy hat to plug things into.
It's got these long horns on the case, and you control them.
Wait, it was Orbis?
Orbis was the PS4's code.
Orbnoticus.
Nice. Unicron will be the PS5. You hit the power button and it just goes, I am Unicron.
I've been waiting for that Orson Welles
furniture. This furniture to it.
You have to feed it like be an Autobot to play your game. It only consumes old Transformers toys that you grew up with.
Oh, that'd
be super expensive.
But I did that as a child. They always broke. That's what M80s were for.
That one big-ass Optimus Prime truck that my cousin got, and I didn't. I would steal his and feed it to my PS4. PS5, I guess.
Yeah. So it's an interesting time for video games. You know, this year, you know, since we were talking about all the old-school stuff, the new-school stuff, it's just, you know, we're on the brink of all these releases and stuff. So by the end of the year, you know, PS4 and whatever the next Xbox will be available to purchase. But the reveals are coming out now, so it's exciting to see what are they doing, what kind of graphics are we talking about, you know, in terms of the how things look, how things play, what kind of resolutions we're talking about. You know, we have 4K TVs out nowadays. Will these consoles support 4K gaming? For the PS4, the answer is no. It'll output 4K video, but it, you know, for Blu-ray playback, for example, but it won't. You won't be able to play your games in 4K, but that's kind of
that's HDMI 2.something
probably. And you know, a lot of these hardware specs that we're talking about, they always say everything's subject to change. So
yeah,
you know, if Microsoft comes out with 16 gigs of RAM, you know, in a month, you know, maybe the PS4 will have 16 gigs of RAM. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or the opposite, they'll say, oh, we have 4 gigs of RAM. Sony will be like, shit, we can cut costs. Let's start snipping. 4 gigs of RAM for us.
That worked out so well for us last time. Oh, wait.
Yeah. And that's another thing. The notion of future-proofing. So they have to future-proof their box if they intend it to last 5 or 10 years. So, you know, yeah, pour a bunch of RAM in there now so that 5 years from now...
I think they just pour it.
Yeah. But, you know, 5 years from now when everybody's got Google Glass stuff and their augmented reality all over the place, you know, you hope you're...
We're living in Ready Player One.
Yeah, right. Precisely. Yeah.
This is going to happen.
You know.
All right, I have a tangential question. Why is Assassin's Creed not being developed as a movie with Jason Statham as the lead?
Because Michael Fassbender's doing it instead.
Okay.
I'm
going to allow that.
Fassbender is the creative lead on that series of films, and he is set to star in the first one. It's in, like, the
series
process now. Yeah, it's going to be a series. Of course it's going to be a series. They got like five games.
Yeah, that reminds me of Green Lantern. That was going to be a trilogy.
Okay. Fair enough. And they are video game movies, so, you know, let's start being depressed on that front.
No, eventually one of them's going to be good. It's going to happen.
One time, wasn't there?
Which one? It wasn't Super Mario Brothers.
God damn it. Mortal Kombat, that's what I meant to say. I'm sorry.
Mortal Kombat was fun, but...
No, it was not good. I'm totally being facetious. Yeah,
I can't think of one that's...
Prince of Persia was passable.
I saw that recently at the gym.
And Ben Kingsley.
Yes. And the hotness.
Gamma Arterton or whatever, right? Gamma...
You use her title, sir. Don't profane her. But,
That was the only video game movie I can remember that was kind of close to being okay.
I wouldn't say it was good, though.
It wasn't, I know.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Super Mario Brothers is the only one I remember.
Christ.
Hey, come on now. Mortal Kombat.
Street Fighter?
What's his name?
Jean-Claude Van Damme? I was just talking about Jean-Claude Van Damme earlier.
Who was Raiden in the Mortal Kombat ones?
Christopher Lambert.
Yes. Leonard McCloud. Who's now like half blind, so he couldn't actually
play. Cammy was in the Street Fighter movie. Cammy was
Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
Kylie Minogue played Cammy. Jean-Claude Van Damme was Guile. No,
of course.
Dude's not American. And, so on and so forth. And
can I tell you that just now...
Rest in peace, Raul Julia.
He went out on that.
I know.
That's not good.
Sad.
No. It's not as bad as Orson going out on Transformers.
You never make a movie like that. Because you could die after that movie.
It could be your last.
That movie, the making of it, may just kill you. You have to be careful.
Well, that's like Brandon Lee, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Too soon?
Well, I wouldn't go there. But...
It's, yeah.
That was going to be a star-making movie, too. That's a real shame.
Yeah.
I got sat all over again.
Yeah.
You know who's also really good in that, I've always thought, is Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson?
Yeah. He was quite good in that.
There's a... You know that the X-Men...
They went nowhere, I'm sorry.
X-Men meme...
You know, I haven't had a long time. Big League Chew.
You know that X-Men meme where they, you know, they have Juggernaut bitch? The same guy has made another one with Transformers. And Megatron... Speaking of the Brandon Lee thing, Megatron's just like, in one scene, he's just, "Bitch, they kicked me off the set of The Crow because I shot Brandon Lee." Megatron's just saying this.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
It's interesting.
What a random reference.
I was dying when I watched that. No pun intended.
So Fast of the Creed, huh? All right. That's got potential. That really should be good.
Yeah. I mean, I hope, you know, Ubisoft is...
Oh, what about Hitman? Come on, guys.
That's being remade. It's been remade. So, Hitman was a movie already.
Can we unmake the first one?
With whatever the guy's name is. He's a big star on TV now with Justified.
I have no idea. Oh, wait. That guy?
Blah, blah, blah. What's the guy's name?
Not Timothy...
Yeah, Timothy Oliphant. He was the Hitman, Agent 47, in Hitman.
Mm.
But and this is going to take me on a whole career other tangent. I'm talking a lot today.
No, go for it.
Paul Walker.
We ran 2 hours last time.
Paul Walker
will be
the new Agent 47 in the new Hitman remake, which is called Agent 47. And speaking of Paul Walker, I have endeavored to watch all of the Fast and Furious films.
I heard about you on the internet. Are you that crazy son of a bitch?
of Fast and Furious 6. So I've watched number 1 and 2 already. I don't own them, and I'm not going to buy them.
Which one is 2?
2 is Too Fast, Too Furious.
What's the plot?
They're in Miami, and Ava Mendez is there, and there's a dude that...
You can stop talking. I'm already on board.
Okay, so then the third one is Tokyo Drift?
Tokyo Drift, yeah.
I saw Tokyo Drift in the theaters. I took a girl to see that, and I don't remember who it was. But I don't remember getting hit afterwards, so it must not have been that.
So here's an interesting thing that I didn't know until I started looking into Fast and Furious Hex Solid. It's going to be a seventh one, also with Jason Statham. Because see, there's all kinds of linkage here. So the third one, Tokyo.
Oh, I love the idea of Fast and Furious versus the Transporter.
That's it's coming. So there's the first two Fast and Furious films. Man, there's a lot of Fs. are in chronological order, but then Tokyo Drift, the third one, is actually set after even number 7, or after number 6. So they actually bring this character, and again, spoiler warning for an 8-year-old movie, that died in Tokyo Drift, and he is a character in 4 and 5 and 6, and they're all like, hey, when are you going to go to Tokyo? He's like, yeah, you know, later. Because he fucking dies in Tokyo. So they keep stringing this character along. Awesome. In all these fucking movies.
So this one is retroactively in the future now. Tokyo so it'll be Neo Tokyo by the time it actually happens.
Post The Rock, you know, post all that stuff. The Rock already cooked and left. Like, all that shit is come and gone before that guy dies. It is just fascinating what they've done with this film series.
I had no idea it had such depths to it. That's amazing.
I'm going to rewatch Tokyo Drift because I have seen that one in the past, and I'm just going to go through all of them in anticipation.
Diesel's only in 2 of them, isn't he?
Diesel is in 1. He's in Tokyo Drift at the end. Spoilers again.
Yeah,
he's in 4 and 5 and
he
6.
He is in 4.
He's
okay.
In 5 of the 6, I guess.
What is the fourth one called?
The fourth one is called Fast and Furious.
That's right. Hit the lamest title.
And then Fast 5.
Fast 5 is number 5. And then Fast and Furious 6 is the one coming up this summer.
You know that somewhere
I'm
in
ready
the
for
world,
Faster and Furious, sir. That needs to happen.
Somewhere in the world, there's a guy, and the crowning jewel of his life is having written the Fast and Furious series. Like, he created
a slash fic.
Yeah. Let me find the name of the Japanese title of that film series. It's going to be great. Just let me.
Oh God!
Wait, there's a
Backstroke of the West.
What they call it in Japan is just somehow to me. Epic in some way.
Better than
we talked about this pre-show though. They're good at titling things with awesome names, whether they're good or not.
That's true. Like
Gemini the Meteor.
Gemini of the Meteor. Yes, that's right.
Meanwhile, over here we have shit like Friendship is Magic. Way to go, US. Aim higher.
I think it's called Wild Speed.
That's awesome. Wild Speed.
And, you know, Tokyo Drift is in Japan, but they just call that Wild Speed 3.
That's not quite Macaroni Bastards, but it's
no,
not.
Macaroni Bastards.
But, it's pretty good.
Yeah. It's an interesting endeavor to go through. They're, especially the first two, it's just all about the cars. It's just... It's a freaking Mitsubishi commercial for the Evo, the Lancer Evo series of vehicles.
Yeah.
It's just and nitrous. They want you to put NOx in your car and just get into a huge accident. That's what they want you to do in a purple car. That's what they want you to do. But it's kind of fun. It's got its own thing. It's hard to say. It is just fun to watch some of the stuff that they do.
Oh, listen, I grew up loving Dukes of Hazzard.
I love a little bit of that vibe, just more modern, you know.
You remember when they tried to do a motorcycle version of Fast and Furious?
Torque.
That's right.
With Ice Cube.
Not only that, it had the guy from Matrix.
Which one?
Captain of
Morpheus.
Lawrence Fishburne.
He was like the main dude, the main bad guy.
Yeah.
Kind of bad. I don't know. He was
Unfortunately, that one didn't go anywhere. We didn't get too torqueous or something.
The hair on the torque.
Fast and the torque.
Yeah.
You know,
torqued off.
Torqued off. Idaho Drift or wherever the fuck it is that they do that shit.
Nothing ever good has ever happened in Idaho.
There's an amazing part in that, like this amazing stunt in Torque where I don't know why they're riding through the woods or some shit, and like the dude like kind of like does a stoppy, so like he brakes so that the motorcycle goes up on its front wheel. And then, like, he kicks off a tree or something to turn the bike around and go the
Less
other
than
way.
Oh, look, that's actually what that move is called. It's a stoppy.
Also, he just described a combo. A motorcycle.
Yeah, it was like a three-hit
down,
combo.
Down, forward, and hard punch.
It's a stoppy. No, I played Tricky at least once. I was bad at that game. If face planting was the goal, I would have been good at that. But that's not. No points for that.
Oh man, that would go on my list. I know we're going to talk about this another day, but
yeah,
that might go on my list. of like favorite games.
I think a lot of people would put it there.
SSX.
SSX Tricky. Oh,
that's
my
that's
God.
The best. That's my favorite game. I was bad at.
I played that game so much, and I'm not making a claim like it's a fine video game or anything. But holy shit, I played a lot of that game. Yeah. Okay, we can get off of that topic now. But my God.
All right.
Yeah.
So I did a crash course. Going 180. I did a crash course on
like,
the
did
NBA
you kick
cap.
Off the tree just out of curiosity.
Well, I did a stoppie.
First, you stop, then you kicked off the tree.
Yes.
And you
it was very crouching tiger.
Yeah.
But I did a crash course in the NBA's new salary cap.
Oh.
And wow, that new luxury tax, it's a bitch. So everyone's like just shedding salary left and right. I was like, all right, I guess Cuban was right. But,
what was Cuban's position?
Cuban, the Mavs have been shedding salary for a while, partly to get cap space to acquire nobody, which is what happened. But
do you think they're going to make a play for? Damn it! I just slowed everything down.
Howard,
yes.
Yeah, I'm they're one of the potential suitors everyone's talking about. I think
Howard's actually interested in coming to Dallas.
Who the hell knows? I don't even know if I want him. I mean, the guy is... what's not broken on him right now? I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah. It, with Kobe bitching at you the whole time, that didn't help, but...
Yeah.
the Mamba will not be appeased. Here's my question, though. Is there any way that, like, the Heat and the Thunder don't rematch? Does anyone have a...
Possible.
Without an injury?
Yeah, I mean, the Heat, I think, and I may be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but I watched the first encounter. I was there for the first encounter this year of the Heat and Thunder, and the Heat beat the Thunder soundly, although it was close for most of the game.
Yeah.
And I think they beat the shit out of them a few weeks ago.
That's correct. I remember
so,
that. It was, yeah.
You know, I'm wondering if not having Harden on the Thunder just kind of had them, and I mean, you know, we're more than halfway through the season now, but
yeah.
If it just kind of weakened them a little bit, their bench is not as strong, maybe.
Yeah.
And yes, Durant's and I cannot remember
Headcase.
Yeah,
Westbrook.
Westbrook. Like those guys are young, and they, you know, they can carry a lot on their shoulders. But you know, you can't win a championship that way. Sometimes, you know,
Well, LeBron has had a ring of Jesus fire now for about 12 months.
Yeah.
And
he'd have won 9 straight, I think, now. Like, they're really starting to gel again,
yeah.
Right at the most important time.
Yeah.
You know, so I wonder what it'll be like. I mean, you know, playoff start, everything's kind of, you know.
I'm actually not worried about that finals. I think that'll be good. Those are the two best teams.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm worried that they're just going to steamroll everybody in the fucking playoffs.
The Spurs have one of the best records in the league.
But the Spurs are not built for the postseason.
They are not. But
yeah.
But I'm wondering if the Thunder are weak enough that some kind of matchup like that could result in
a
disappointment.
The Thunder beat the Spurs last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
In San Antonio?
I don't know.
Because San Antonio is almost certainly going to have a better record, which means they're going to get more games at home.
We can pull up. Maybe I can pull up the standings, but I wonder if the Thunder would even match up with the Spurs early on because.
Oh yeah, they're for sure, and there's no way they're not going to be 1-2.
So they're not going to meet at
yeah.
all in the bracket. Usually, it's 1-8, 2-7, et cetera, et cetera. So, let me see if I can pull up.
Where is Memphis? You gotta figure the Spurs are scared to death of
Where
that,
is
them
Memphis?
Again.
I don't fucking know. Just in general.
Well, they're in Tennessee.
I know.
But as far as like standing wise, I don't know, but they moved Gay and his ridiculous contract. But, yeah.
Let's see. Western Conference, San Antonio is 1. OKC is 3 games back. The Clippers are 3. They're 5 games back.
Yeah.
Then Memphis, Denver, Golden State, Utah, Houston, and the Lakers are 1 game back. No, 3.5 games back.
Houston, please.
So.
Yeah, they. Oh, I'm
sorry, LA.
No, I'm not sorry. Fuck those guys.
You got some work to do.
You know.
Scrabbling by their fingernails.
No, they're such a delicious tire fire. I just love it.
It's good.
Oh, God.
It's a good phrase to
describe. I just love it.
You know, like, every other California team almost, you know, sorry, Sacramento, but almost every other California team.
Don't worry,
is above the Lakers.
Team for
they are not. They're going to move to Seattle.
Well, Houston just rated them of their remaining talent on the trade day.
No.
I have no idea.
Who did Houston raid?
Sacramento.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a few trades that happened.
Yeah.
But is Sacramento trying to shed cap or something?
That's one would hope that was the logic behind it, because if it wasn't, there is no logic to what they did.
They're pretty far down. You know, Phoenix is one game behind Sacramento in terms of the stands. So the Phoenix is stands too. But it's lottery, right? The top picks in the draft are lottery, so they still have a pretty good chance, Sacramento, assuming they have, you know.
Yeah, the one trade that I think might have shook things up didn't happen. The Garnett to the Clippers trade was a rumor, but KG and Griffin, that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
But alas.
Yeah. Clippers are number three in the West. So, you know, in the East, you know, you got Miami and then Indiana, New York, Brooklyn. Let me say my Russian, the Russian word, Brooklyn. That's who owns it. And Chicago, Atlanta, Boston.
That's one team not worried about the liquor tax, the Mushroom Mob.
And Milwaukee is eighth right now. I mean, there's still early days, but...
Oh, Christ. That's all you need to know. The Bucks are in the discussion.
Yeah.
It is the East. The East is slim pickings this year.
Most years.
Yeah, it, you know, there's...
The slimmer this year, really, right? Like, Chicago started off
I think so.
And injuries. Boston is much weaker this year than they were last year, obviously. And now even worse with the Rondo gone.
Yeah, the Heat actually held them to a season low. Mm-hmm. The Bulls just a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like you said, with Rondo done. Although, that's the weird thing. The Celtics went on a tear once they lost him.
For a while.
They won like 9 of 10.
Let me see if I can pull up more data. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, I am curious how things will shake out in the playoffs once East, you know, when we do the East meets West in the finals. I just don't see, you know, in the bottom five in the West right now. Again, it's all subject to change. Like, I just don't see, you know, these guys, Utah, Denver, Golden State, even Houston, you know, really making a strong play. You know, there may be some surprises, you know, that Golden State's played good basketball in the past. It's just, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know.
Houston had some guys, like we just said.
So maybe, you know, San Antonio, OKC.
Any team with a beard that awesome, though, as its masthead. That's worth, like, one game alone.
Oh, the beard is one win over replacement?
It's a majestic beard. It's not quite Gandalf awesome, but you know.
That homeless guy sure is fit.
In a surprise move, the Houston Rockets have hired homeless men in order to shed salary cap space.
Well, that's not my joke. That's someone else. Someone else made that comment about what's his name?
Harden.
Harden, when he was still the Thunder there. I don't remember who it was, but it might even have been on TV. Someone was like, man, that homeless guy looks amazingly fit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for my dad hates Harden, and it's because of the beard. He absolutely hates his beard. That's a dad opinion. Come on. I do not like that guy's no good. His beard is stupid. Well, what?
There's nothing. Yeah.
No, what, aerodynamically? Six I don't understand.
Year, whatever. No.
Actually, you know, the pundits at the beginning of this year were very... I found it very strange how down they were on the importance of Harden to the Thunder. I don't know. I'm not that big a basketball fan.
I mean,
fan,
they're not that broken up about it. They're number two in the West, so...
True.
You know, there's that.
They replaced him with... well, not replaced, but they're...
They acquired a young guy from Houston. I forget who it is.
Apparently.
But, They were just trying to get something for him before he became a free agent. So it was one of those
sense.
Kind of
like
things.
It was
yeah. I remember most people, the ones that at least I follow, were like, oh, the OKC's boned.
You thought, really?
Huh. At first,
yeah.
I
remember preseason, you know, Team Evil was supposed to be really awesome.
Yeah.
And then they got on the court and it was
awesome
over.
On paper, but...
Yeah, and then Nash broke something in his leg. I don't think anyone's figured it out. Kobe.
You know, in some ways, the same could be said of the Heat, you know, in that first year. Everything looks great on paper, but it takes a team a while to gel. It just does. And, you know, they got real close. I'm, you know, not saying that, you know, maybe some of that.
I was about to say, it speaks to the team's strength that, you know, losing the finals was considered a failure for them. So.
Throughout that season, you could see that they were having a hard time gelling. Like, you know, being the kind of team that they need to be and LeBron being in the right mental space or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, and then last year, the things just, you know.
As our Heat specialist, I'll just ask you, Sprint, how much of that is D-Wade, like, not adjusting to being Robin?
I mean, but he said, I mean, Wade has said, like, I think, and I can't say, you know, I'm not in any locker rooms or anything. I can't say for that first season whether that was part of the problem. But certainly in last season, you know, part of the press kind of narrative that they were building around the Heat was Wade specifically told LeBron, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to rein things in from megastar down to kind of star. I'll be your Scottie Pippen almost and let you kind of, this is your team, do it. And I think some of that combined with LeBron just getting his head out of his ass, you know, as far as performing under pressure, I think those two things were critical, absolutely critical to getting them to win the championship. I mean, without that, I mean.
Well, that game 6 against Boston, still, holy Jesus.
Yeah.
That was an Atlas game. I'm putting the world on my shoulders.
Yeah. He just wouldn't have been able to do that. Like, he wouldn't be able to do it that way. Like, the thing is, like, he's done that with the Cavaliers, you know, many, many times. But the way he went about things with the Heat last year is a different kind of LeBron, I think. You know?
Yeah.
And he wasn't shrinking like he was the year before. He was just, oh, I'm just going to bump up my assists. You know, I'll triple my assists. Everything will be fine. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh are awesome players too. I don't mean to, you know, drop them, but like, you know, all three have to be on it. And even now, like, their bench is so thin, like, they got to be on it. And Spoelstra's got to play those pieces in the right way, you know. And it's credit to that coach too. You know, Eric Spoelstra, people, you know, were talking all kinds of mess about having Pat Riley come back. But I think that guy's proven his mettle more than maybe even some of the players. You know, that guy could drive all these superstars to a championship.
I think it was Van Gundy. Or was it Van Wilder? No. I don't know why that joke popped into my head. I think Jeff Van Gundy said that the best coaching year Spoelstra ever had was the year before they got James.
Mm.
You know, proving like, okay, yeah. I've got Trash and D-Wade. I'm going to prove to you if you come here that we're going to be good. I thought that was an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah. And that guy apparently, like, worked his way up the system. Like, he was cleaning towels or something like that, and he worked all the way up to assistant coach and then head coach.
Yeah.
So he's been in the Miami organization for a long time. Seems like, you know, he's just really into that stuff. And, to me, that's almost like a bigger thing just because, you know, like, he's not a big name. He's not a personality. He's not a Phil Jackson or Pat Riley or some of these other guys that are more well-known. Maybe even smaller guys. Well, smaller, don't mean to diminish them, but like Doug Collins, these guys that have just been, you know, workhorse coaches in other places like Detroit, and like, you know, Spoelstra's just there getting it done, you know, and come out from almost from out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And kudos to him for that. I think that's, you know, worth saying.
Yeah, no, I he's fine. He's certainly, people that are down on him, I don't know what they want. Yeah. He's perfectly fine. He ain't Popovich, but no, who gives a shit?
Yeah, Popovich is another one. I think, you know, it's not necessarily a household name once you leave San Antonio city limits.
Oh, he's the best coach in the NBA. I'll say it if no one else wants to. And the people that follow it seem to like that's
yeah.
Like,
if you pay attention, you know, that guy's showing some masterful.
Mm-hmm. He's really good with role players.
Mm-hmm.
Right around his big three that are now, I don't know, their aggregate age, I think, is like 120. Maybe I'm being a little overshooting, but.
Well, thousands of years ago, they were. Oh,
Duncan has been there a while, as is Ginobili.
Yeah. Hey, might as well bring Robinson back. Just have the Admiral play off the bench.
Oh, God. Well, Jordan, like, last week played, was it Kid Gilchrist one-on-one? Like, the day before his birthday?
Really?
And schooled him.
Man.
It's like, okay. I'm sure he felt like hell the next day. Oh, shit, I am old. This was a bad
plan. That muscle memory, though. Can you imagine, like, having Michael Jordan's muscle memory just for shooting? Forget your body, like, being able to handle the high performance kind of.
I can't forget because I never knew.
But like, if you just his muscle memory for the way he holds the basketball, the way he shoots, like, you know, setting aside again, like I said, that you know your muscles being not able to output what they could and all that stuff, that just that skill that he's worked into his muscle memory must be fascinating. That's probably why he can, you know, kick the shit out of people to this day.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have to think about it. Doesn't have to train up. He's just, it's like riding a bike.
I've always been impressed with the NBA because they travel so much. They're just on a fucking plane all the time. And then, all right, get up, go play basketball. Never playing a game tonight.
Hey, here's $1 million. Here you go.
Yeah. Well, that makes it a little easier to bear, I'm sure. But
how about all these floozies? I'll have them too.
No, they're not. There's a name for that, right? I'm forgetting. Know.
Those are hostesses.
Hostesses. I don't mean Twinkies.
Nay.
No, those are gone.
There's a ho-ho's joke in there, too, but I'm not going to pull that out. There you go.
Well, that's
basketball. You guys been following it at all?
I haven't.
I know Miami is also good at that. As yeah, I understand
I did, this. I did hear they got their ass kicked out today or yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. They had an NCAA serious thing.
Yeah.
They were.
Oh, well, there's that too, yes. The basketball team lost, I think. So
That's the football team. You're right, I'm sorry.
But the football team, yeah, there's.
Lack of institutional control. The NCAA came down with the big hammer.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Means that the
that's like a good L charge.
That's like the catch all thing that the NCAA says when the students were doing things that the administration didn't know about and which the NCAA doesn't like, and so they're going to like come down hard on the school for it. So, I mean, it basically means we can't bring charges against you for anything else, so we're just going to do this so we can F you. That's my interpretation. I take a pretty dim view of the NCAA, though, so it's not a particularly charitable one.
You ever see Miami, you know, there's always something shady going on.
It's the U.
My dad and my sister are both alumni of that place, and they're not shady people. I don't mean to disparage them. It's just, there's always something shady going on with it. No.
Football
or
basketball.
None of them played either.
Your dad did.
My dad did not play for UM. He did a bunch of high school stuff, but not in the college itself. There's always some shade. There's a whole 30 for 30 documentary on University of Miami's football team in the 80s and early 90s. And they got sanctions.
Leave Jimmy Johnson alone.
There's a whole documentary on how shady that shit was over there back then. So that,
yeah. Is that part of the Pony Express one?
No, it's a whole thing. It's called like the U or something like.
It's a whole movie. God! So that means there's 2 30 for thirties about college football being corrupt.
Probably
because they had the SNU death penalty one.
Oh, okay. Mm. Yeah. There.
Way to be NCAA.
That one's great too. I watched that one, the one about University of Miami, and I'm trying to recall exactly what the story was, but there was basically a thing where like the dudes would say like, oh, you know. On this play, just because I'm crazy, I'm just going to kill this guy. And, like, the lineman would line up, and...
That had to be Ray Lewis, right?
He would not focus on the play. He wasn't trying to do the play. He was just like, no, I'm going to murder that fucking guy over there. And he would just snap the ball, and he'd go over there and fucking tackle and beat the shit out of that guy. And that kind of shit would happen regularly. Like...
I want to say there's a better than even odds chance that was Ray Lewis.
It's worth watching. I'm not doing it justice.
Most of the 33 for 30 are great.
That's true.
So.
That's true.
No, I'm sorry. If it were Ray Lewis doing that, he would have driven away the player.
That's true. Right.
Some other player killed.
There's some other thing where like, the dude got a touchdown and like kept running past the end zone into the parking lot or something. There's all kinds.
No, that's Forrest Gump. That was the Tide. Speaking of the Tide, they have that new thing. They've changed the recruiting rules, where there's some kind of a new position that you're allowed to have. Saban already has like a shit ton of them.
Okay.
No problem. All right, go out there, bring more talent.
I want to talk about somebody.
Talk to the rings.
Not welcome in Miami very much. Nick Saban is this certainly one of those.
Oh, I imagine. Yeah. That's okay. He's. I don't know. Like, if there is ever a king of Alabama, it'll be him.
Yeah.
Yeah. High Lord of the Swamps.
Yeah,
swamps. What is this, Louisiana?
What a great place to be king of anything. Yeah. Alabama.
Yeah.
It's a poor kingdom, but hey.
Oh, God.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah.
Roll on, you crazy guy.
Listen, I appreciate Alabama. I would like having the South African Mandela experience when I here at home.
I kind of would love to see teams like some team just absolutely just thoroughly dominate the NCAA for like an extended period, like 10 years or more.
Bama's just on the way, man.
That's why I'm getting it. I
yeah.
love Bama for that reason.
Yeah.
Just to, like, make a mockery of it. Because the NCAA needs that. They need to be shaken up.
Saban's got the personality for it, too. I think you're going to get your wish.
There's something wrong with that. The whole thing just stinks.
No.
I also have a place in my heart for Saban because he's from the Bill Belichick tree. So,
mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, right. But he has not yet donned his Sith outfit. He doesn't have a torn sweater.
Well, no, but
Saban.
He's still the apprentice.
He needs to kill Belichick. Rise, Darth Saban. Rise.
I said arise. That's never happened.
Roll Tide. Like, the way you draw him in the fan base.
Oh.
It's hilarious.
Oh, that was fun. That was a fun one to do. I think I'm also going to decide that Gronkowski will just never have a shirt in the strip. Because
that's ridiculous.
No. You Google search him, and he's bare-ass naked and half the pictures you'll find.
Wow.
Yeah, it's it is amazing. He is, you know. Kim Kardashian finally has a male counterpart, I think.
Oh, no, come on. That's unfair to Gronkowski.
You know what? That's true. I take it back.
Like, absolutely skilled at something.
Yes.
He's an amazingly good tight end. I mean, he plays in a system that favors him as well, but like, he's super talented. He's a physical specimen. Like, he brings stuff to the table.
Kim is a physical specimen, too.
Okay, I'm going to give you that. She's a physical specimen. She's a specimen of something.
Yeah.
She is pulchritudinous. As it were.
Ah, that's a good word.
that's my 10-cent word for the day.
That's good stuff. That's better than Stoppy. You kind of ran the whole gamut tonight on Masterpiece Theater here.
Jeez. Man, so, okay, we were talking earlier, maybe we'll have a whole podcast about this, but, I mean, the topic is so big that we could touch it now anyway. We were talking before we started about anime. Do we want to jump a little bit towards that? I don't know. How do you feel, sir?
I guess we could, yeah.
So, yeah. Recap. What have you been watching recently?
I've been watching Trigun.
Trigun.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I saw Trigun.
Trigun's old.
Yeah. Yeah. Relatively speaking.
Yeah. Sure. Well, it's funny how something that came... 98.
It's not Gatchaman, like Battle of the Planets old, but it's...
Sure.
It's
well, it looks so much older because coloring has come so far,
yeah,
so fast.
True. It's true. I mean, that's all probably still cell animation in Trigun. Very little digital. And nowadays, like, a lot of it is digital.
Yeah, the Japanese have done a good job seamlessly blending the two,
yeah,
also.
Yeah.
So did Futurama, on a somewhat related note.
Yeah.
It's strange that those are the two that were the ones that did
so
it.
So how far are you in Trigun?
I am just finished episode 6.
Oh, okay.
So not that far. But
like that era, I guess they sort of do it nowadays, but not really as much. Like that era of anime, that late 90s, you know.
Well, they're all Westerns.
Well, it's space Western, yeah, it's Cowboy Bebop and all that stuff. But like the Outlaw Star, especially all those came to the U.S. as well. They have this thing where it's 26 episodes long. They've got this plot that's very episodic to start, and then it starts to serialize and serialize and serialize. You get to, like, episode, I don't know, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there, and then it's just, boom, serialized from now on. Like, haha, we tricked you. You really like this sand and comedy thing we got going on in outer space over here, and serious shit.
Here we go. Boom.
There's a good reason for that, though, right? Like, if you tell the episodic stories first, then, like, you can bring people into the characters.
Oh, I agree.
Like, that's what happens in Bebop, right? Like, you get
the same
early episodes.
It's the same era
exactly.
of anime.
You get early episodes that, like, they expose the like, deep background on different characters. Like, you know.
And I would argue that even in Cowboy Bebop, it starts, they're even a little bit ahead of their time, because in episode 5, Ballad of Fallen Angels, they show you there's more to Spike.
That's the first really good episode.
But that's 5 episodes in, not 14 or 15. I think in Trigun, they're a little more subtle, and a lot of shows around that time, a little more subtle about
You're right, reveals. Because I just watched the 6th episode, and we're getting the whole I don't have memories thing. I was coming in now. Now he's nowhere man. with, you know, some weird mohawk thing. But.
Yeah, so a lot of shows don't hit you over the head that hard with any sort of secret things. But you'll see, like, it just builds and builds and builds. It's got its own kind of thing. I really like Trigun. It's one of my favorite series.
I'm digging
it. Very cool.
It's legitimately funny.
Yeah.
I think the funniest one I've seen was over in high school, Host Club. Almost embarrassed to say that I watched it, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's a shoujo parody. It's hysterical.
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it myself, but I've heard good things from people.
Yeah. I think if you played that straight, it would be awful, but it's really making fun of, like, that kind of stuff. Nice answer to, like, stuff like Twilight and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that one was good. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Someone asked me a year ago what my favorite one was, and I was like, I don't know. They're all such their own thing.
It's like the answer's obvious. It's Footy Cootie.
Oh, no, that one I made a firm judgment against, unfortunately.
You are so wrong.
That one is so chaotically, like, what am I looking at here?
Studio guy next.
Dude, there are robots popping out of people's heads.
That is true.
More than that.
Yeah.
I mean, and there is a
story. It's like the question that answered itself.
I mean, you know, I took an anime class in college, and, you know, it's easy.
That's awesome, by the way.
Thank you, MIT. You know, this guy, Sean Leonard, at the time, he was a cool guy, and he pushed for a lot of anime kind of stuff. He was president of the anime club and stuff. And anyway, in that class, you know, one of the first things you learn, and I think it's very important to remember, because what I was going to say is, like, ask what your favorite anime is, like, asking you, what's your favorite TV show? Like, ever? Like, now? Like, action? Or you know, it's a strange thing. Anime is a medium, and if you think about anime as a medium more than a genre, there are multiple genres of anime. It's not a genre in and of itself. It's a medium. It's a way of communicating a story.
Yeah.
You know, one way or another. You can say it's a sub-medium of animation in general, but it is a medium. So asking what your favorite anime series is, like, well, which one? My favorite comedy? My favorite action? You know.
That's fair, but thing? I think if you asked me the American television show question, I think that'd be easier.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
That speaks to the lack of variety.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. I think it really does. Because I'd be like, I could probably kind of get down to, like, 2 pretty quickly.
Hmm.
Which 2? Curious.
I really have a soft spot for Lost.
I think Lost
is very good.
Like,
and
Lost,
I'm really loving Mad Men. I think it's pretty damn good.
You know, Mad Men, to me, like especially last season, that last shot, man.
Oh, I know!
Jesus Christ. And to me, that after that last shot was over, I'm like, you can just say Mad Men, an American classic. Like, that show is a goddamn American classic. It's like, I don't know, the Dodge Charger of TV shows or something like that. It is an American classic. Like, everything about it just... And it's weird that it's not set in modern day, so, like... But to have that take on the 60s from this point in time, it just... I don't know. It's just a classic show. Just the feel of it, the cinematography, the writing, the characters in general. It's... That last shot, I'll just never forget it.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird that I would say that, because most TV shows, like, I mean, I guess Lost is another one where I can remember certain scenes, but that specific one, for some reason...
Yo, everyone talks about it like that.
The set and everything, and the bar stuff. And,
oh,
like,
yeah. Are you here alone? And then he just John Hamms it.
And
I don't have a word for it. It's John Hamms it.
And that few seconds before, when he walks off the stage from the commercial,
yeah,
that stuff, like, it's fucking iconic. Yeah. It's just iconic as hell.
It's an excellent show. It's hard to beat. And it's coming back real soon, I think.
I guess, yeah. As opposed to the last time where we had to wait an eternity.
Yeah, fuck you, AMC.
No, it was the writer's strike involved last time too, right?
AMC gets these awesome shows, and then they start this is the whole Ram thing all over again. Mm. Yeah,
That's right.
For the same reason, Walking Dead's had now 3 showrunners.
Yeah,
because talented people cost money. It's like you can't leverage this to come up with some fucking cash. What the hell are you doing?
There's Breaking Bad too. That one deserves mention. You haven't watched it though.
Right? I haven't. Oh, I'm scared to start. I don't want to wind up like you, spending a month reading the Wheel of Time until 5 a.m. in the morning.
You're going back into the Wheel of Time.
Oh, I'm like done already.
Holy shit!
I'm gonna finish the 13th book. Well, 14th depending on how you count them tonight. The second last.
Damn. That was fast.
Yeah, and by the way, it's one of the best ones. That's like number 2 or 3 on my list.
Towers of Midnight, really?
Yeah, it's really good.
Interesting.
Wow. I remember enjoying it the first time, but now that I've read them all in close proximity, it's not that high, but it's top 5. It's really good.
Hmm. I don't know. For me, sometimes TV, too, there's a sentimental quality to certain older shows. And I think for anime, it's the same way. I have a hard time, like some of the original
series. Talking about Lupin here? What are you saying?
No, the whole Lupin is his own thing.
But I have an irrational love of Robotech.
Gundam for me is I really like some of those older Gundam shows. I'm a huge Gundam fan in general, but those ones may be my favorite. They may not be as technically good as some of the more modern stuff, or even Cowboy Bebop, which is just everybody's favorite, I guess, in some way, but it was just, that was a big kind of game changer for me anyway in anime that I watched when I first saw it. There's that nostalgia, I guess, that kind of gets added to stuff, and I think TV shows is kind of similar. I really am very fond of MacGyver, for example. If I watch it now, I have on Netflix, it's but MacGyver,
it's just drilled the temple time, right?
I have a real nostalgic association with MacGyver that I'm.
Have you seen them? Have you rewatched the one where he fights the ants?
No, I watched the pilot, and it was okay. But I when I watch it, even I get that nostalgia back. I'm like, man, I really love this show, but it's certainly not on the same caliber as Lost. But there's this weird kind of pull. But I think
I get the medium. Next
Generation, yeah. Apparently, the first 2 seasons were total shit.
It took a while to get its way.
Yeah.
And no one ever says it, so I'm going to say it.
I get nostalgic about Voyager, so I'm a bad person. But I could watch that and I'd be like, oh yeah, I remember these characters.
Where is Star Trek in syndication right now? This has been too long.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out why they're sitting on that.
I don't know.
There's been a lot of stuff that's been going on interesting this decade that you could play with, socially.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, guys, it's time to fire the bad boy back up.
If I had to guess, I would say they're going to get the franchise sort of into the modern age with movies, and then they're going to do a new show. Just a guess.
Yeah. That could happen.
I want to believe you for what that's worth.
But that's an optimistic view, right? The possibility is they'll just do movies.
Star Trek is Paramount? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no TV network associated with those, right?
They're like 1/8 of the CW, I think, at some point.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a CW show.
They were UPN, CW was UPN, right?
Yeah,
UPN was the one who was carrying all the Star Trek syndication before.
And then they merged, and then they renamed.
They're part of CW.
Yeah.
So expect more Smallville Gossip Girl, Gossip Trek.
Small show.
Small Trek.
You know, when I realized that it had been so long, and this is me being a super dork, I started doing the mental thing, okay, so what would it be? And I was like, so what ethnicity is the captain this time?
I don't know.
I know. I was like, maybe you go with a non-human. Huh? That might be an interesting wrinkle. But, I don't know. That was the problem.
Captain Wesley Crusher.
Well, wait a second.
You know what? That would actually be okay. I would be down with that.
Sorry. The mic. Captain Weston.
We dropping the mic on that one?
Boom. Just bang the mic on the table. Captain Wesley Crusher!
Make this happen. Immediately.
And podcast. That's why we have the disclaimer, folks.
It's not just dangerous for your children, it's dangerous for your eardrums.
I wonder if Will Wheaton would do it. He's got to keep the new Will Wheaton, the Will Wheaton beard that he has.
Absolutely. And just absolutely
go full force.
Or did he Cisco? Anyone Cisco? Yeah. In, what's his name?
Jake?
Jake Cisco. Cisco.
God, that's even like,
but that guy that played Jake's probably much older now.
He's either that or dead. Those are the two inevitabilities. Cirque Lofton was his name.
I mean, I'm just like, that was. How old is Deep Space Nine?
It ended in the.
It's newer than the Next Generation.
True.
It started
so
after.
So lots of things. So was The Crow.
All right, that's it. Brandon Lee's.
Ray Lewis as Captain.
Yes.
Hey, you know he what? Just he just retired.
He just teleports onto the other ship and just beats the shit out of the guy every time.
So like, bringing Kirk back.
I'd kind of like to see him, but.
Prime directive, motherfucker!
Can you imagine that, like, Next Generation uniform on that guy? It's just like.
I'm trying desperately to do so. Maybe he's worst brother. I don't know. But the play, but I. Oh, God. I was yeah. They were doing their 25th anniversary, you know, cross country tour at the cons this year. That's how long Next Generation's been out, so.
Yeah.
I think I just depressed the whole room.
They're re-releasing the seasons on Blu-ray, and they're actually redoing all of the assets, the CG assets. They're redoing all of them.
Really?
Yes. Yes. A lot of those, the ones that can't be up-res or whatever because they just were done in some way that cannot be replicated.
Okay, when are they doing that for Hercules and Xena?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Hercules in space. You heard it here first.
Wasn't that Andromeda?
It was Andromeda. Better Hercules in space than that show. Jesus.
I've actually never met any person that's ever seen that show. Is it
Hercules Legendary Journeys?
No. Come on.
Xena Warrior Princess?
No. Warrior Lesbian, Andromeda. First of all. Andromeda, yes.
Andromeda. I've seen a few episodes of Andromeda growing up, but it's been forever. Yeah.
Was it just nothing?
Yeah, it was all right.
It was
a Gene Roddenberry joint, I think.
Yes, it was. So it was one of those things I found in his locker. And they're like,
I mean, so there's a core that's, you know, usually interesting to start there, but it goes nowhere fast because then they, you know, have to start glomming on the rest of it to make it work. Yeah. It's like this other show that I liked that was Gene Roddenberry idea, Earth Final Conflict.
Yes, that was the other one.
Season of that, I freaking loved that. And even the second season was, okay. But then they started going.
How do you have
a
second season of Final Conflict? I don't understand.
It's the conflict
that
is not done yet.
It's the Final Conflict. They just paused a protracted Final Conflict.
There was a summer break. Okay. Then they came back. By the third season, like, shit was.
Well, did they fight the Russians and they just went home for winter? I don't understand.
They had to create villains. It was just messed up. I don't know. I lost heart. It was interesting. But it was cool at the start. I enjoyed that.
Well, that's cool.
You know, then, yeah, like I said, it
that's one problem with network television shows as opposed to some of the more independent stuff that were not independent, the non-network driven stuff. The networks do these shows and they have to be open-ended in terms of the number of seasons.
Yeah.
Because if it becomes popular, they just can't let it go, right?
Yeah.
But someone like HBO, if you told them, I want to make this show and it's only two seasons, period, they're probably still okay with that. Like, they're willing to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes things are serial to the point where you want a television show, but not to the point where you want 18 seasons of it. Okay. In fact, most of the time, that's true. So
I would agree with that. I mean, look at all the BBC stuff. There's, you know, very definitive beginnings and ends for most of that stuff.
That I think that's one of the other main things that limits the
We're moving that way,
right,
to be
now.
Fair. We're moving that way.
I mean, things like House of Cards.
Network TV?
No, but that's a wasteland.
that's what I'm thinking. Like, network TV is.
I mean, have you tried to watch Two Broke Girls? That is vomit inducing.
Well, that's a sitcom, right? Sitcoms are entirely
different. I mean, nominally, but I don't know what the hell that is. It's just. It's two reasonably attractive skinny girls, like, just. And that's it.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I haven't watched any of
it. It's
before.
America's number one new comedy.
Really? At least that's what they want you to believe.
I think it actually had the Nielsen to back it up because it's fucking America. Two and a Half Men is like a big deal.
Sitcoms just don't count. Like, they're not. you're not telling stories with a sitcom. You're just like getting cheap laughs. My opinion. Maybe somebody out there is
that's fair.
The fine art of sitcom writing, but fuck sitcoms. Like they're just not like high quality TV in the same way.
They can be done well.
They can be done well.
They're just usually not.
But yeah, at the end of the day, most of them are just cranked out shit.
Yeah.
And like the network television model is optimized for stuff like sitcoms, where it's just we're going to run this into the ground. Once it's not popular anymore, we're going to get something else out, and we're going to run that one into the ground. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. So just it doesn't lend itself well to compact storytelling that's still in a television.
With advertising models changing, I don't know how much longer that's going to work. They're going to have to change their game, I think.
We'll see. Possibly.
You know, I say that, and then again, literally Two Broke Girls is kicking ass in the ratings, so... It's bad.
I mean,
people that bitched about the Big Bang Theory, oh, God. This thing's on a different level of suck.
You know, House of Cards is an interesting experiment, and I hope that there's more experiments like that in the future.
Yeah.
You know, the kinds of stories they can tell, the way that they tell them, you know, it does break that broadcast network TV model. You know, those episodes, you know, when you load it up in Netflix, you can see they're different lengths. Each episode is a different length. They're not beholden to jamming commercials in there, right?
Yeah.
And fitting within a time slot. So if the story they want to tell for this episode is 53 minutes long, the episode is 53 minutes. Sometimes it's 48, you know, and you know, they don't really extend or contract the length too much, you know, a few minutes here and there. But it got me thinking, like, what if you're telling some giant story and you want an episode to be 3 minutes long? It's just an interlude or something like that. With a format like just put all your episodes on here and people pay $8 a month and they watch it, you can really explore that kind of stuff. You can have those kinds of interactions, almost like a book, right? Like you read a book, chapters vary in length significantly. I read one book of Faulkner's things, and one chapter was My Mother is a Fish. Turn the page, next chapter. Like you can do that kind of stuff in a you know, streaming net TV model.
I've read a 200-page chapter recently.
There you go.
Worst day of my life.
Lying sack of shit.
I'm kidding. It was actually a pretty great chapter.
You know, it's just interesting to have that opportunity. I hope that, you know, people enjoy it and they get the ratings that they look for to justify more things like that.
I gotta figure crowdsourcing is gonna figure in pretty soon.
Yeah, Kickstarters and that sort of thing for sure. That'll continue to be.
I can imagine someone like Tarantino being like, you know what, I want to make just, you know, 5 episodes of something.
Yeah, I mean, he could pull it off, but like if you want to distribute,
a lot of big names could. I think.
Yeah, but you have to be a big name to distribute high quality video. So I mean,
maybe
just do it on YouTube.
Kickstarter.
Just do it on YouTube.
Yeah,
and get people
part of your high quality stuff.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's this company called.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Through my some martial arts experience and stuff. There's a lot of stunt teams that do content on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff they give away for free, but they actually do work on films to actually finance their stuff, and then they put up their experiments and their cool shit on YouTube for free.
What's the end game there when they do this?
Yeah, part of it's a demo reel, which gets them more work.
Okay.
Part of it's just fun, and part of it's practice, which keeps them up to date on...
Okay.
They may do a fight scene that has some sort of style, and they're just kind of exploring stuff, but helps keep their martial arts and their stunt chops up. It's a demo reel. You know,
yeah, it's almost like a resume.
Yeah, exactly. So there's one group called 1000 Pounds Action Company. They're relatively new, I think. They have a lot of talented people there. And while they may do stunt work or martial arts work for other folks, they are trying to do this thing where they come out with their own TV show. It's called Clandestine. And it's about different martial arts clans that are going to fight each other. And they have a whole plot written out. They've filmed a few small preview scenes introducing some of the main characters. It's almost like a Street Fighter kind of thing, but a little more serious, a little more kind of dark. And they put a Kickstarter up and they say, well, this is what we want to make. This will cost this much.
Yeah, okay,
If you pay us this much, we'll give you DVDs of this. We get a poster, you get this and that.
$1,000 will come to your house and crunch
you. We're not screwing around. Here's a 3-minute video clip of what we wanted to introduce and all the concepts. And they just kind of put it all out there. And I think the Kickstarter was successful.
Nice.
So there's a lot of expectation. And, you know, I watched, like, after they got that Kickstarter, they put a couple videos out of, like, that are more serious, that are more, like, okay, now we're getting our act together and we're putting stuff out. So they have a few preview videos, and I watched one of those preview videos, and I'm like, that looks as good as any martial arts action TV show you've ever seen on TV. Just as good. You know, they had special effects in there because they have a little bit of Street Fighter-like moves that they do. looks good. Looks very high quality. And, you know, nowadays with a DSLR camera, you can film 1080p video content. So the technology is there to, like,
the stuff you can buy at Fry's is getting really powerful.
And then you have to know what the hell you're doing. So, but these guys, I think, do to some extent. We'll see how the writing goes when they make more long-form stuff. But I'm excited for that kind of stuff. You know, that could be another avenue for... And these guys, nobody famous is backing them. There's no Quentin Tarantino presents this thing I pooped out 3 seconds ago. Like, there's none of that.
I saw that. That was great.
But, you know, I guess it doesn't take too many fans, assuming you can build up a small base, to bankroll something, you know. Instead of millions, maybe you just need 10,000 or 25,000 fans. Each of them gives you a certain amount of money, and you can kind of get things off the ground, assuming it's feasible.
Yeah.
You know, and for them, they just need a few costumes. They're not, you know, doing Michael Bay fucking blender shots and things exploding and, you know, three models over here.
Blender shot sounds like it should be a sex move.
You know?
Nice.
Actually, I don't think it would be.
You know, Optimus Prime transforming and then punching his dude.
Maybe it's like a Bukkake shot where they just move you around the whole time in a circle.
Bukkake with Lazy Susan.
Book it.
Wow. This is why we have the
man law. Can we follow that? I don't know.
That's, that kind of stuff is encouraging. I hope.
Yeah,
you, and YouTube. At Google's trying to position themselves as the place to do this kind of shit too, so it's not just it's not just, you know, these people trying to take advantage of that you know environment, the YouTube environment. Google wants people to put their high quality content on YouTube, so Google can say we're a Netflix competitor in our own way.
Right.
Google wants that.
Well, hell, no one's using MySpace.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still,
it's like a digital wasteland.
Yeah. And they're paying some people, in particular celebrities, lots of money to come up with original content for YouTube. But they just throw up on there. But it's different than
that. That's it? They just vomit?
Some of them, maybe.
Well, you know, it's always Sunny in Philadelphia, is this? They shot, like, the pilot for, like, $10,000 or some shit. I was like, all right, that's pretty funny. What's wrong with it?
Hmm.
It was just three dudes and, you know, they're, you know, Caitlin and... Eventually, they brought the big name in with DeVito in season two, but
yeah, I mean, you know, it is possible.
Yeah,
just, you know, we'll see.
You just need to be good, I think.
Yeah, talent cannot be you know, talked about enough.
Otherwise, you're just Nyan Cat again.
Yeah, and I guess that takes a particular kind of talent. Nyan Cat is timeless, goddammit.
It kind of is. you know, I take it back. I apologize, Nyan Cat. You're an American/Japanese classic.
The mashup culture. I mean, have we talked? Tell me you know what the Harlem Shake is. You familiar with the Harlem Shake?
I got a crash course in it this last week, yes.
Okay, wait. Go, no.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, no.
Seriously?
Yeah, no.
Oh. It's almost like we have to stop the podcast.
No, we'll look at it later. But
so the Harlem Shake is a meme.
The what?
The Harlem Shake.
The Harlem Shake. All right.
Okay, it was a dance a long time ago. But that's not, it has nothing to do with this meme. It's a YouTube meme. So it's like, basically, all the clips are 30 seconds long, approximately 29 seconds, actually. They take this 29-second clip from this song, and it starts out, because of the first video that was copied that then went viral, starts out with a dude in a room with other people in it that are seemingly going about their day, working, whatever. And that dude's wearing a motorcycle helmet, or lady, whatever, person. And then they're just doing a dance, and the song's playing in the background. And they're just doing a dance. And nobody else pays attention to this person. They're just dancing. You know, sometimes they're doing the crotch, you know, pelvic thrust dance. Sometimes they're just grooving. And then
when the bass drops
in the song, everybody starts going ape shit and just dancing and throwing props around and shit like that.
Wait, so you said there's a bass drop, so are you telling me this is a
dubstep?
Dubstep related?
I don't think it's quite, it's not Skrillex kind of, not like that. There's just a bass drop and it keeps going. It's sort of like electronic hip-hop kind of type of sound. And then everybody goes crazy and they're just doing stupid shit and then it's over. And that's it. But it's like everybody's decided to make a copy of this and do it their own way. And it started on like February 6th.
I saw a naked one yesterday. I'm not even making that up.
It started on the 6th of February, the first one got uploaded. And since then, it's taken off.
Sure.
And my favorite one is actually If you haven't seen it, I have to show it to you. It's just front load washing machine that just is just on with the door removed, and it's just like that's supposed to be the dude in the motorcycle helmet. And then when the bass drops, they take a chunk of concrete like this and just throw it into the machine, and the machine proceeds to tear itself apart as it has this giant piece of concrete in it. And it's just going at high
speed. Just funny. I don't
know. It's fucking amazing. It's totally worth watching if you know, especially if you're familiar with the meme, but, you know.
That is random as crap.
That's random as crap. Harlem Shake, man. That's another thing. Like, you know, just mashup culture. Just taking off. Taking off.
That's awesome. I need to go watch these. Yes.
Yeah. I think podcast is over. You've been listening to Full of Sound and Fury podcast. We're going to watch some videos now on the internet. I love the internet. With me tonight has been Riyadh.
Hey.
With me tonight has also been A-Rod.
Yeah.
And we will catch you next time. This has been a Rise Again production. Copyright 2013.